Welcome to the Exec MBA Podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. So this episode is all about our brand new Executive MBA application. I invited my admissions colleague, Catherine Alford, here on the podcast for something of an annual tradition. We talk about the brand new application. We share tips and advice for Executive MBA applicants. If you're applying for our class enrolling August 2022, this episode is essential listening. So without further ado, here's my interview with my admissions colleague, Catherine Alford. Catherine, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Brett. It's great to be here.
It's so great having you on. This is something of an annual tradition. Every year, the Executive MBA application launches, and every year, the two of us gather here on this podcast for a conversation about the new application. Is there any place, any other place you'd rather be than right here, right now?
This is one of my favorite days of the year.
Same here, speaking for the both of us. So first and foremost, before we plunge into the application conversation, how are you doing? How's everything?
I'm doing well, Brett. I love summertime. And with the 4th of July coming up this weekend, I'm really looking forward to spending some time with my family and celebrating the country.
Nice. It is, you know, summer, if you have to pick a season, I would say I'm a summer person. I know there's a lot of people out there who love fall, but I always love the summer. It relaxes a little bit. It's very hot here in DC. We've officially reached like the 100% humidity, warm weather. But you know what? It's a fair trade. It's a fair trade for the pace of summer. So let's talk about the new application. So the Executive MBA application is now live. This is the earliest we have ever launched the new Executive MBA application. So one of the benefits is that students, prospective students, now have a longer runway to those first few deadlines. How would you encourage someone to use this time over the summer to really get ready and organized for the application process?
Great question. I think the obvious answer is to reach out to your recommenders. Recommendation letters are usually the last piece of the application to come in. So giving your recommenders advance notice is always a good plan. But more generally speaking, I think the extra time that you have this year provides you some space to really think through your narrative. So you're here, you're applying to an MBA program. What story do you want to tell? What is your narrative? How did you get to where you are today? What choices brought you here? Why did you make the decisions that you made for your life, personal, academic, and professional? Where do you see yourself going from here, and how will an MBA from Darden help you get there? I would try to know and understand this story before even looking at the application. What would you say, Brett?
Yeah, I completely agree with the point about narrative. And this is so much about your story. The story has obviously a number of dimensions. It's got an academic dimension. We're going to be assessing your readiness for an MBA curriculum. It's got a career dimension, which both encompasses what you've done career-wise and what you hope to do and how an MBA and how Darden can fit into that plan. There's also a significant personal dimension to this, right? We're very interested in getting to know you as a person. So as you think about that story, think about the full scope of your life, right? One of the things that we talk about a lot with prospective students, Catherine, is that oftentimes people's lives seem to begin at college forward, but there's so much that happened before somebody ever enrolled in an undergraduate program. So how do you make space for all of this without being too detailed and too bogged down in the minutia, but also kind of giving us this kind of scope and span of your life? Any thoughts related to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you're speaking to the benefit of having a little bit more time to reflect on these things, because we don't usually take time during the day to reflect on where we grew up in our childhood and how that has influenced who we are today. And the strongest applications to MBA programs are from those who have done that work, who have really thought about how their early year experiences are weaved into their current day situations.
Well, the reality is you could probably fill out our application in a day or two of focused work. But if you can give yourself more time to think about your story and how your story maps onto the parts of the application, of course, you're not going to be able to share everything about yourself in that application. It's an initial introduction to who you are. So this is where it's also important to think about prioritizing what you want to share, what's most important to you to convey in that initial introduction in the application, and recognize there's also potentially an interview in your future. So interviews in the Executive MBA program are by invitation only, but they're conversations. It's a 30-minute or so conversation, a chance for you to give more depth to the information that you've shared and the application to complement and supplement that information. And so you also want to keep in mind these two parts of the application process. So again, the application as an initial introduction, what's most important to share. And I really appreciated your point about sort of getting organized early. And one of the things that I've talked with some of the other members of our team about is starting with your target deadline and working backwards, right? So thinking about the deadline you're trying to meet, we offer monthly deadlines, and kind of working back and thinking about what the most time intensive parts of the application or application process might be. You mentioned recommendations. So we require one recommendation. We will accept up to two, but that tends to be slower because you don't fill that out yourself. You don't control that. The other thing, and I know we're going to talk about this later, is tests, right? To submit a standardized test score or submit a test waiver. That can also take some time, depending upon if you're choosing to take a test as part of the application process.
Yeah, no, I think that's good advice. Really think about testing and recommendation letters when you have this extra time.
The other thing I think that comes up is all the materials that you will need to gather as part of this process, right? So one of the things that's true is we're going to ask you for unofficial transcripts for all degree-related coursework. It may be a while since you collected some of that information. So going to registrar websites, downloading your transcript or requesting your transcript again, unofficial transcripts are just fine. That's a transcript that's been issued directly to you, but that can take a little bit of legwork. So before you even get cracking on the application, take some of these steps, you know, as Catherine noted, thinking about your story, but also just getting organized. It's gonna pay dividends down the road. So we offer monthly deadlines. I've mentioned that previously. First deadlines in August. We'll go until the class fills. At least if you look at our website right now, we have plans to accept applications through April of 2022. How do you encourage people to think about the timing of their application, Catherine?
Sure. Well, it goes without saying that in August, in that round, every seat is open and every scholarship dollar is available. As the rounds unfold, we do not have as many seats to fill or as much scholarship money to award. So applying early is always a good idea, but at the same time, you do not want to apply at the expense of a strong application. So if you think that spending a little more time on your essays or on a standardized test will help you put your best foot forward, I think it's best to wait until you feel like you're able to do that.
I love that advice. Don't rush your application just to target a deadline. Take the time that you need to put together a strong application. And sometimes applicants are confused by the fact that we have all these deadlines listed on our website, right? They're monthly deadlines. We do that to take some of the stress off of the applicants to know that, you know, if you're targeting August and you're not able to get your materials together by August 10, no problem. Just log into your application. Choose a following deadline, September, October, whatever feels right to you. So we want to give you flexibility. We know how busy our executive MBA applicants are. The other thing that's true is that all of these deadlines are focused on one matriculation date. So in our executive MBA program, all students start in August. So the next matriculation date is for the application that's live right now is August 2022. So if you're planning to join our executive MBA class of 2024, the class that enrolls August 2022, all of those deadlines on our website are focused on that enrollment date. Anything else you'd like to share here, Catherine?
Well, just that there's not a huge difference in rounds that are close together. So the August round versus the September round in terms of how many seats we have in the class is not going to be a significant change. Brett, when do you think that the rounds really start filling up and we have to really be careful and pay attention to selectivity?
That's a great point. And as you mentioned, as we go through each round, we'll extend offers of admission. We don't have a set number of offers we plan to make in each round. We don't have a set number of scholarship awards we plan to make in each round. We're really reacting to the pool of people who've applied, the strength of that pool. And so as we extend those offers, some of those offers will be accepted. And so as we progress through that period of time, the class will start to fill up and take shape. In my opinion, it's not until some of the later deadlines. So in the deadlines as structured on our website, maybe March, April, where things start to really tighten up, maybe February too. But most people applying to our program will apply sometime between September, October, and probably March. But if you can apply earlier, in addition to we have the maximum seats available in the class, we have more scholarship money available in the class. There's also a personal benefit to applying earlier. You get an answer sooner. It's about 3 weeks from application deadline to decision release in our executive MBA application process, which can be helpful to you not only in knowing whether Darden is an option for you, but also getting all the people in your life organized around the idea that you're going to be going back to school and the nature of that time commitment. commitment. Any tips or suggestions here, Catherine, as to how people might approach these conversations?
Yeah, I think it's really important to make sure you're talking about this decision with all of the people in your life, from your family to your colleagues, looking at the academic calendar, seeing when you're going to be occupied with school and when you'll have time to spend with other people, and going ahead and securing dates on the calendar for your personal life and your professional life, realizing that time is your greatest asset, and that is what you will have a smaller amount of when you're in this program.
So have those conversations early, often bring these people into your decision-making process, even prior to applying, bring them into the why MBA conversation. Why do you want to take this step? Why are you interested in DAR? These are important conversations. And if you listen to our podcast, which obviously you're checking out this episode, check out some of the student conversations, because we talk a lot about time management. How do you do this program? How are you juggling all these things in your life? And how did you have those conversations with the people in your life, you know, not only as you were embarking upon this journey, but as you've been in the program, in the flow of the program? Is it something that you talk about regularly? Spoiler alert, you will find that students are having those conversations with the people in their life regularly. Typically every quarter, when you get new classes, every couple of months, sit down, look at the calendar, what's coming up personally, what's coming up professionally, what do you have school-wise? Are these going to be challenging courses for you? All really important conversations. Mm-hmm. So Catherine, one of the things that we say often in the admissions world is that, at least here at Darden, the review process is holistic. And I know for prospective students, this can get a little old, because everybody's talking about a holistic review. And what exactly do we mean by a holistic review? To you, when you talk with prospective students about the nature of our review being holistic, what do you say? What do you share?
Yeah, so when we talk about an application being holistic, we are saying that rather than prioritizing a particular piece of your application, like your undergraduate transcript and record, your resume, or your test scores, we review each applicant as a whole person with different dimensions that span academic preparation, professional experience, and personal interest. So we want to see a little bit of everything. And as a result, we encourage candidates to be sure to show us multi-dimensions to who they are.
It's a great point. And circling back to your earlier point about focus on your narrative, your story. As you're thinking about telling your story, this is where thinking about the holistic review, how we're going to engage with your materials, and think about all that you share in your application, right? It all matters. That's the great thing about the application process. It's also the challenging thing about the application process, that everything matters. The other thing I think that's worth thinking about is, if you can be objective about your candidacy, it's easier to say that on a podcast. It's harder to do that sort of objectivity, taking a step back, thinking about what are the strengths of my application, of my candidacy? What are those areas that are still within my control right now that I can focus on strengthening? I think that's important work. What do you think about that, Catherine?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, if you feel like someone was reviewing your application objectively and might have some questions around a certain part of your application, whether for your academic aptitude, your professional experience, et cetera, I would focus on trying to strengthen those areas and being clear about your ability to excel in those areas through your application.
Well, one of the things we've started to talk about here is academic readiness and preparation for an MBA curriculum. Now, let me begin by saying there's a lot of different ways for an applicant to demonstrate this readiness through the application process. It can be through undergraduate coursework, graduate coursework, professional certifications, additional non-degree related coursework, what you do day in, day out at your job, and what you've done over the course of your career, to the extent that those roles, responsibilities have been quantitative and analytical in nature. There's also standardized tests. And so when it comes to standardized tests, executive MBA applicants have two options. They can choose to submit a standardized test score with their materials. And we accept a number of standardized tests in our executive MBA application process: the executive assessment, GMAT, GRE, MCAT, LSAT. The other option is to submit a test waiver request with your materials. Catherine, when you talk with folks about standardized tests, I want to kind of stick with standardized tests for a second. What are the benefits potentially of having a standardized test score as part of your application materials?
Yeah, well, at the beginning of the day too, Darden is an academic institution. So you're coming to get a degree. And on the admissions committee, we want to feel confident that you can handle the academic rigor of the classroom environment. So if you do not feel that your undergraduate transcript from 10 plus years ago is a strong reflection of the type of student that you are today, a standardized test can provide the admissions committee with an additional and more recent data point that indicates you are ready for this learning environment. And another point is that it can also be helpful when trying to compete for the small merit-based scholarship awards that we're able to give out.
That's right. So there's a strategic consideration here, and you want to think about the different parts of the application process. So we talked about the application review and sort of the holistic nature of that review. The scholarship process is different. We are typically focused on indicators of merit. Those indicators can include undergraduate coursework, graduate coursework, professional certifications, career trajectory, but also standardized test score. And there are some applicants who would say, you know what, a scholarship award is going to be a really important part of my MBA program decision. It's going to have a lot of influence over where I choose to go. And I want to make sure that I give the scholarship committee as much information to consider when making those awards. It's not to say you can't receive a scholarship award after being granted a test waiver, but nevertheless, this is the strategic element of the application process and kind of thinking about potentially expanding the set of data that's available to the scholarship committee when making scholarship awards. The other thing, and coming back to that point about sort of thinking objectively about your background, it's worth sort of laying out all those pieces of information that I mentioned earlier when we talk about academic readiness in our assessment of your academic preparation for an MBA curriculum. Think about your undergraduate coursework. Did you go to grad school? About a third of our executive MBA students have gone to a graduate program prior to enrolling at Darden. Do you have professional certifications? Do you have additional non-degree related coursework that you've been doing? Coursera, for example, MOOCs, MBA math. We occasionally see students who have done Harvard core online. Do you have things like that to marshal? And of course, what you've done professionally in your career. When you think about the balance of those things, do you think you would benefit from having the more recent data point that a test score can provide? To Catherine's point, right? It's a snapshot of where you are right now. The executive assessment is the most popular test for our executive MBA applicants. Catherine, why do you think that is?
I think that it's the most popular test because, well, first of all, it was designed for busy working professionals. So it's 90 minutes in length as opposed to a GMAT or GRE exam, which is closer to 3 hours. It is, again, designed for people who don't have as much time to commit to preparing and studying for these exams. So I would say that while the GMAT or GRE, you need to study about 100 hours, the executive assessment is closer to about 20, 25 hours of prep time.
Yeah, so the 40 question, 90 minute test for most applicants, as you note, somewhere between 20 to 30 hours of preparation. It was designed initially with executive MBA applicants in mind. It's now accepted a number of programs, specialized master's, part-time MBA programs, full-time MBA programs. We accept it as part of our full-time MBA application process, but it is a really nice test for people who are busy working professionals looking to go to an executive MBA program. The other benefit of taking a test, something like the executive assessment, is it gives you a chance to get back into school mode, and it gives you a chance to study for something that's not directly related to your job, to learn about things that maybe you haven't been exposed to in a while or you haven't learned in a while, and to kind of knock off the rust, so to speak. One of the big adjustments for executive MBA students is you're going to have homework again. You're going to have to take tests again. We have exams in our program. The other thing to know is that you also are going to have to figure out how to make this time commitment work. So taking a standardized test is a chance to put a toe in the water and test drive some of this experience, right? Carving out that time from your schedule, having the other people in your life see that you have a commitment where you're unavailable for maybe a couple hours every day. And 20 to 30 hours is pretty easy to find over the course of a few weeks. And just taking that step is a good way for you to check in with your interest in pursuing an MBA. If you're having a really hard time finding time to prepare for a standardized test, you may want to take a step back and sort of ask some questions about, you know, where you are on this journey. Does this timing make sense for you? It's a good way for you to stay in touch with your motivations for pursuing an MBA, and another way to sort of test drive the experience before you're in the experience, so to speak.
When you do really well, it can give you a little bit of a self-esteem boost too.
That's right. And the other thing I will note to the holistic review is that people always ask, and the nature of the executive assessment, you don't actually get a percentile breakdown. When you take that test, you get a score, and score has your score breakdown by section. It consists of quantitative reasoning, verbal reasoning, and integrative reasoning. But you're not like the GMAT or GRE going to be told you're in this percentile. And the test was designed with the idea that you would then reach out to the programs you were targeting and ask, you know, is the score in range? It's a test of readiness. It's a way for you to assess where you are. Are there things that you might want to brush up on prior to the start of a program? And I will say in our executive MBA program, we have students with scores ranging from the 140s to the high 160s. Our average score over the past few years has been around 153, but that is not a minimum or required score. There is no minimum or required score for any of the standardized tests that we accept. And again, to Catherine's earlier point, we're going to look at that standardized test score within the broader context of your application and with all that other information that I mentioned that we're going to pay attention to when assessing your academic readiness for an MBA curriculum. So we talked a lot about tests here, Catherine. Let's talk about the other option for candidates. So I want to make sure we give ample airtime to the conversation around test waiver requests. This is an option out there for executive MBA applicants to submit a test waiver request with their application materials. We review those waiver requests as part of the application review process and give an update at the time of decision release. Anything that you flag for applicants as they approach the test waiver request process or even thinking about whether a test waiver request makes sense?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, it's part of the application this year, and it can be found in the test scores section of the application. For those who are requesting a waiver, you're going to be asked to highlight any aspects of your educational or professional background that you feel are relevant to the committee's decision to waive a test requirement. So when you're thinking about a waiver request, know that the committee is going to pay particular attention to your prior coursework, both degree related and non-degree related. So if you've taken some classes on Coursera, et cetera, we pay attention to that as well. We'll be looking at advanced degrees that you have, professional certifications, CFA, CPA, things of that nature, and your work responsibilities. Some people have pretty quantitatively rigorous jobs, and so we'll be looking at that as well. So keep in mind, there's a lot of quantitative work in an MBA program, so it's always a good idea to demonstrate your quantitative aptitude through some means. And if you don't think that you're showing that through your professional experience or your academic experience, then a test is usually a good idea. If you do feel like you've demonstrated those aptitudes pretty readily through other areas of your application, then the waiver might be the best choice for you.
Yeah, you have 500 words as part of that test waiver request. Occasionally, we'll see people write a cursory sentence or two, but that's not really the best way to use that space. Now, it's not to say you have to write 500 words, and that would probably be overkill, but do take advantage of that space to focus our admissions committee's attention on aspects of your background that can give us some sense of your readiness and preparation for an MBA curriculum. And again, if you want another way to think about this, think about the role a test score can play in our application review process, right? It's a way of you're demonstrating your readiness for an MBA curriculum. If you took that test score away from your application materials, if you said, okay, I'm going to apply without a test score, do you feel like you could still make a strong case for your academic preparation? And if you can, then perhaps a test waiver makes sense. And if you feel like I actually think I need another data point here, maybe that would lead you to choose to submit a test score with your materials. Again, this is where the objectivity really comes in and taking a step back and thinking about your application as our admissions committee will, holistically, objectively. To the extent you can do that, there's a lot of benefits to it. Catherine, so we have new short answer questions this year. We have an updated learning team question. So learning teams, every student in the executive MBA program, I should also note full-time MBA, is assigned a 5 to 6 person team, students from a lot of different backgrounds. And this is an initial touch point for students socially, certainly academically, as they manage the workload of the program. Anything that you would want to highlight here about that learning team question?
Yeah, so I just ask people to keep in mind that this is a group of people that you're going to spend a lot of time with. And so our question, what do you want your learning team to know about you, is trying to understand a little bit about what is most important to you about yourself to share with people that you spend this amount of time with. So you can take a couple of different angles. Like sometimes you might talk about your work style, or sometimes you might choose to talk about how you blow off steam. There's a lot of different angles you can take. There's no right or wrong. What's most important is that you spend some time thinking through, okay, these people I'm going to see all the time. What should they know about me right from the get-go?
And it's one of the places in the application where your voice can come through. I think that's one of the true things about the short answer questions, is it's a place for your authentic, genuine voice to come through, for you to share things about yourself that you haven't perhaps had a chance to highlight in other parts of the application. Learning team, it's white space, right? So it essentially, what would you like to share with this team that is not on your resume, is essentially the question there. So think about it. There are certainly parts of the application where you can share hobbies and interests, organizations that you've been involved with. There's an additional family information section where you can highlight. It's an optional question that's worth noting, where you can highlight though aspects of your background growing up. But the learning team, it's a question that both sort of signals, you know, this is an important part of the Darden experience, but also gives you a chance maybe to share a little bit more about yourself personally. So take advantage of that space. We also have an updated leadership question. We also have an updated diversity, equity, inclusion question. Catherine, new for this year, applicants actually have choices within these question categories. So there's two options. Folks would reply to one of the prompts there. How do you encourage candidates to think about this optionality?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I think what I would encourage people to do is go back to that exercise we spoke about at the beginning of this podcast of really understanding your narrative and your story and what the admissions committee wants to know about you. And then I would leverage those essay questions to share parts of your narrative. So stay consistent with who you are in your narrative and use the different prompts and select the prompt that enables you to do the best job sharing part of that narrative with the committee.
Again, love the emphasis on narrative, because the reality is, you know, when you have that kind of choice, you want to think about the story you're trying to tell, the prompt that's going to give you that you feel like you have the best response to. We felt like that kind of optionality, choose this or that within those question categories, really kind of fit with the message that we have around sort of shaping your story through your application. And then we have one more question that's out there. Surprise, surprise, it's a career goal question. That's probably table stakes for an MBA program, that you need to have a sense of short-term, long-term, where you're going. Catherine, anything that you would encourage people to think about as they respond to that career goal question?
Yeah, so I hope that in the responses to that question, students will talk a little bit about where they've been. So basically, I have these great experiences, and then move on to, I think they will transfer well into a position in X, Y, or Z. You don't have to be super specific. I mean, if you do know exactly what you want to do, great. But it's more to get a feel for, given what you know about yourself, how do you see your career evolving through an MBA program?
Yeah, we want to see that you're engaged with this, that you've thought about it, that there's some reflection. You won't have a ton of space. The big challenge with the short answer questions is, well, they're short answers, right? So typically it's a process of editing, of whittling down. That's something that I would say probably takes a few drafts. You want to have a good editor, somebody who can give you some feedback. Again, to the earlier point where we started out, give yourself some time here. The more time you can give yourself on crafting these kind of responses, putting your application together, the more intentional you can be with your story. And the other thing I think that's worth mentioning here is, you know, we could have picked any short answer questions in the world. You sort of think about it, it's an infinite universe for an admissions committee. We picked these because we feel like these are important to learn, important things to learn about applicants to the Darden School. But they're also important ways for us to show that these are our key values. Catherine, I think about the leadership question in particular, think about the diversity question in particular here. And these are really central values of the Darden School.
Yeah, I mean, admissions committee spend a lot of time thinking about the questions that they're going to ask, and they use the questions to communicate the values of the program.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about recommendations. As we mentioned at the top, we require one recommendation. We will accept up to two. All right. This is the question of questions when it comes to recommenders, a recommendation. Who makes a good recommender?
The best recommenders are those who have worked with you, who know you well, and who really like you. Most applicants will ask their direct supervisor for a recommendation letter. One piece of advice is to pull up the recommendation letter form, read through it, and think about who would write the strongest responses to the questions that are being asked. If you Google common letter of recommendation, GMAC, a copy of the letter will pull up so that you can see what you're submitting to your recommender. If you just started working with your direct supervisor, it may be best to ask another person to write the recommendation letter. At the same time, if you do choose to request a recommendation letter from someone who is not your direct supervisor, you should use the additional comments section in your application to explain your choice. At the end of the day, the most important thing is to ask someone who has seen you working, who knows your work ethic, who knows your communication skills, can talk about your teamwork, your leadership, et cetera, and be an advocate for you in the MBA process.
Yeah, so much goodness in what you just shared. I think it's always worth, as you start off on this process, maybe getting your resume updated first and foremost. We can talk about a resume later, but it has benefits in terms of your outreach to your recommender. Sharing your resume, it's one of those tips that we oftentimes will share with prospective students, because that can give your recommender, who may only have visibility into what you worked on with that recommender, can give you the can give that person the sort of scope and span of your entire career, or even more depth to their recommendation. It's also worth noting that the recommendation is actually a ratings grid and three questions. It doesn't actually require the recommender to write a letter. We occasionally will see letters, but the ratings grid, they'll assess you across a number of dimensions, and then they'll respond to three basic questions. And I think these are worth keeping in mind. So first one's really easy for anyone, right? How do you know the applicant? The second question is a little bit trickier for folks. How does the applicant compare to his or her peers? And then the third question, this is where you can see the benefit of having someone who's evaluated you, managed you, supervised you. What's one piece of feedback you've shared with the applicant? Typically, peers, colleagues have not shared a lot of feedback. And so, again, because you're going to be working while doing this program, we do have a preference for current supervisors. We want to know that you've had that conversation with your current supervisor. You brought them into this process of considering an MBA, considering a working professional MBA, specifically the Darden Executive MBA, and having your current supervisor as a recommender is a good way to demonstrate that. Now, again, plenty of reasons why you might not choose a current supervisor or your current supervisor, new role, new relationship, new current supervisor, all these kinds of things. And to Catherine's point, if you choose someone other than your current supervisor, take advantage of the additional comments section to help us understand a little bit more about your recommender choice. Any additional recommendation related tips, Catherine?
I think it's obviously important to have a conversation with your recommender before you ask them to write a recommendation letter and explain your reasons for pursuing an MBA, specifically why you're interested in UVA Darden's MBA program. And it doesn't hurt to also share some of your accomplishments that you're hoping they can touch on, because your accomplishments may not be as top of mind for a recommender as they are for you. And I always think that recommenders appreciate just reminders of things they can comment on in their letters of recommendation.
Well, let's talk about resumes here. We're ticking right through the application. So if you're listening along, you're playing along at home, hopefully you're sort of getting a sense of what's required as part of the application process. So we do require a resume. Catherine, we get a lot of questions about resume length. People seem to worry, and I think this comes from different conversations applicants may have with other programs, may worry that their resume is too long or not long enough. Any advice that you share with folks as they think about the length of their resume?
We aren't very particular with the length of the resume. I think the general rule of thumb is that if you have less than 10 years of work experience, then your resume should be capped at one page. But for students who have more experience, it's not uncommon to see resumes extend to two, maybe three pages. keep in mind you're applying for a leadership and a management program. And so those are the things that we're really paying attention to on your resume. It's not necessary to list every job responsibility you've ever had through the duration of your career. The resume is more a place for you to focus on your accomplishments and your achievements as opposed to everything you've ever done. And also keep in mind that Brett and I have been in higher education for a long time. And so if you have a jargon that's very specific to a particular industry, it may be lost upon the resume readers. So the resume you'll submit to business school would not be the type of resume you would submit to like a highly technical role, for example. So just kind of think about your audience as you're putting together your resume. I like to keep one resume that's really long, that has everything I've ever done on it. And then I have other resumes that I specifically craft out for opportunities that I'm applying for.
So much good advice there, Catherine. You're on a roll in this podcast. I will say the other thing to note as part of the resume process is you're going to share information in the application itself, in the employment history section of the application regarding your five most recent roles. Now, for some of our executive MBA applicants, those five entries encompass their full career. For other executive MBA applicants, those five entries do not encompass their full career. And so the resume doesn't have to be duplicative of the information that's shared in the employment history section of the application. In fact, these should be complementary, supplementary. The resume then becomes an opportunity for you to, as Catherine noted, to highlight leadership, impact, to quantify your results. It also can be an opportunity for you to share a little bit of personality. I know this is not how we typically think about resumes when we're applying for jobs, but you know, we've seen everything from books that people are reading, podcasts they're listening to, countries they've visited, languages they speak. I mean, the list goes on. So remember, there's different parts of the application where your personality can really come through. Probably harder to do that in some of the sections of the application where you're just providing information. For example, the employment history section is a good example. But a resume, that's a chance for a little bit of that personality to come through. Any final tips regarding resumes before we move on, Kevin?
Yeah, just the basics of proofreading, making sure there are no typos, that everything logically flows. You don't want your resume to be too busy. You want it to be a clean and a neat page. And just to give a snapshot of who you are, where you've been, and where you've been.
Yeah, I think it's a great point because I always, you know, we see a lot of heavily formatted resumes and sometimes that can get a little tricky with how the PDF uploads into the system. So make sure everything looks all right. I think my number one tip on all of this is give yourself some time. Don't be rushing. And so when you finish your application, actually step away from it for a little while and then come back to it fresh eyes where you're not sort of rushing and trying to move quickly. I think you'll always catch some of those typos. You may catch some things that look a little irregular, and you'll ensure that you're putting forward the cleanest, neatest possible application. All right, let's talk about additional comments. There is a section at the end of the application where it basically is anything else you'd like to share. It's 250-word text box. Applicants can use this in different ways. What are your tips, piece of advice that you typically share when it comes to additional comments?
Well, first of all, it's optional, so it's not a requirement. If you have nothing else to add, do not feel like you need to fill out that portion of the application. But it's there to be an opportunity for candidates to share with the AdCom anything they feel the committee may have questions about. And I see three common uses for this space. And the first one would be to share a gap in employment. If you have a span on your resume where you have been unemployed for, I don't know, like 3, 4, 5 months or more, please use the resume or the additional comment section to explain what was going on during that time and how you were spending your time. If you have a grade or a semester of grades that are an outlier in your performance, you may want to explain any external circumstances that were going on at the time that the committee would have no way of knowing unless you were to share that information. And lastly, it's a good idea to use this space anytime you ask someone to write your recommendation letter that is not a direct supervisor. All common things that we see, but just also things that are good to provide a little bit more explanation around.
again, coming back to that idea of thinking about your application holistically, objectively, is there anything in your application that someone might want to know a little bit more about, might have questions about, something that's ambiguous, could be interpreted multiple ways? Good use of the additional comments section of the application. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about advice for reapplicants before we get into the interview step. So when we talk about reapplicants, be very specific here. Of course, it could encompass anyone who's ever applied to Darden or the Executive MBA program. But for the purposes of this conversation, let's just talk about reapplicants in the sense of you applied in the prior cycle, so the 2020-2021 cycle. Any tips for people who applied previously in the prior year?
Well, the first thing to note is that we love reapplicants. It shows commitment, it shows grit, it shows a strong interest in Darden's program, which we always like to see. The main thing I encourage reapplicants to think about is to ask what they feel the weaknesses may have been in their application, because most of the time applicants know the weaker areas of their application. And then make sure you do something to strengthen those areas. Don't just submit the same thing that you submitted the last time around. So work on strengthening the weaker areas in your application, and also be confident in your new application, knowing that the school likes to see people who are that determined to be there.
Absolutely. And the benefit of being a reapplicant is you've already gone through the application process once, right? You kind of know what the application itself looks like. You know what the application process looks like. It can demystify it a little bit for you. And then, as you know, Catherine, people typically have some idea of ways that they can strengthen their application. So to the consistent point that we've made here, if you can be objective, you kind of take that step back, think about how you can put forward the strongest possible application. There will be a question. There is actually a question, I should say, on the application that expressly speaks to reapplicants. What have you done since you last applied to strengthen your application? You want to make sure you have something to share there, even if it's only been a few months. You know, taking a step or two to strengthen your application, to be able to signal, you know what, I did do this work of reflecting on my application journey the prior year. It's important, but we absolutely value reapplicants. And it's worth noting, for our reapplicants, for the folks who applied in the prior cycle, the 2020-2021 cycle, there is a reapplicant request form that you can submit where we'll copy over your prior application to the new application. Of course, you would need to review all the fields that you previously completed, make sure that they're accurate. You need to respond to any new questions. And we would definitely encourage you not to rush through the application process. Even with this running start on your application, take your time. You know, take that step, sort of think about yourself objectively, what's going to help you put forth the strongest possible application. And, you know, that'll put you on a solid footing to ensure that, you know, you're doing the important work that the application process entails. So let's talk about interviews, Catherine, our favorite part of the application process. Kind of wrap up here. So the interviews in the Executive MBA application process are by invitation only. So they are after you submitted your application. There's a review that happens to determine if you'll be invited to interview. That is a positive step in the process. It means that you're being considered for an offer of admission. An interview is required to receive an offer of admission. And it's worth noting, you can receive that interview invitation anytime up until the decision release date for the round in question. So with all of that as prologue, what are your favorite interview tips that you share with prospective students?
Yeah. So as you mentioned, this is our favorite part of the application process. It's where we get to hear your story the way you choose to tell it. So my advice would be to show up for the interview ready to walk us through your life story. And we've talked about this earlier today on the podcast, but who are you? What have you done? Why have you done the things you've done? Be prepared to share examples of your teamwork style, your leadership style, but most importantly, be prepared to explain why you have done the things that you have done. We are looking for people who have done a lot of different things, and what you've done is not as important to us as the why behind the what. So you also want to make sure you're ready to share your reason for applying to Darden as opposed to another MBA program. Are you excited about us as much as we're excited about you? Bring your Darden love to the interview and try to look beyond the school's reputation and the location. I'm sure that you've done a little bit of research and are genuinely excited about the unique aspects of Darden's program. And then the last piece of advice is that these interviews are conversational in nature. So be ready to engage in conversation with your interviewer and to leverage this as an opportunity for you to learn more about the school, just as we are looking to learn more about you. What would you say, Brett?
Yeah, again, it's all about narrative. I think there's a tendency for people to say, I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and I did this. And if you can take a step back from that and say, well, how do you put those things together into a story? And that story will really come together and become particularly vibrant for your interviewer when you start sharing, as you noted, Catherine, the why. That brings depth to your story. It gives us a sense of your values, how you think about the world, how you see things, what's important to you. All of that matters a lot because you're going to bring all of that with you to the classroom. You may know that Darden is a participatory learning experience, right? So it's case method, high engagement classroom. And so we are interested in getting to know the full you. The interview process is absolutely a chance for you to, over the course of about 30 minutes or so, tell your full story. So practice, practice, practice. Particularly, you know, if you are not used to this kind of conversational interview, a lot of people are used to behavioral interviews where you get a lot of very pointed questions about, tell me about a time when, or tell me what your greatest strength is, what's your greatest weakness. That will not be this interview. The other thing that's worth noting is we're going to ask you a question, or your interviewer is going to want to hear about something that you haven't had a chance to share about in the application itself, specifically why Darden. Right, we don't ask that in the application because we want to hear about you, but it is also important for us to understand what about Darden specifically resonates with you. But again, think about that overarching narrative. It should be a story. So think about what would make a story compelling to you, and kind of the more you can practice this, I think ultimately the sharper you'll be, because 30 minutes is not a lot of time. It moves very, very quickly. And you also want to leave some time for questions, actually talk with your interviewer. The interviews in the executive MBA process are conducted by executive MBA admissions committee members. And so that's who you'll be talking with. And so it's a great place for you to ask questions, to learn a little bit more about the program, all of that. Easily our most favorite part of the application process. And I will note, Catherine, I think it's worth noting for folks here that after the interviewer will write up the conversation. It'll become part of the application. It'll be part of what the admissions committee reviews. All right. So here we are at the very end of the podcast, another year, another app launch podcast episode. Any final tips, pieces of advice you'd like to share here, Catherine?
Always. My final piece of advice would be to just enjoy the process. It isn't often that we take the time to look back and reflect on how far we have come. I'd encourage you to invite those who are close to you into this process, hear what they have to say about your journey thus far, and use this as a time for self-discovery and growth.
I love that advice because it aligns with something that Donna Clark said on our full-time MBA app launch episode. And it was about, you know, celebrate yourself. You know, you should be proud of yourself for taking this step, right? This is not easy. This is tough work. You know, we acknowledge that. Reflecting on who you are, where you'd like to go, all this introspection, it takes effort. And to put yourself out there, to put together an application, that's something to be proud of. And, you know, really sort of be proud of everything that you've accomplished. Be joyful about this process. I know it can be stressful. You know, you think about applying for something, but we're really eager to get to know you. We're very interested in learning more about you as a person. We have a lot of resources. We have podcasts. We have blog posts. We have events. Engage with us because ideally when someone's applying, it will actually be, you know, the product of a lot of engagement prior to that. So they would have had a phone conversation, maybe join us for a coffee chat, been on a couple of webinars, listen to a podcast episode, read some blog posts. So by the time you're submitting that application, you have a really good sense, not just of what Darden's about, but also why you are interested in taking this step in your career. Well, Catherine, it's always a pleasure catching up with you. Thanks for all your great tips and advice today, and enjoy the fourth.
Thank you, Brett. I can't wait to meet so many of you through the application process. Really looking forward to it, and good luck.
And that was my conversation with my admissions colleague, Catherine Alford, all about our brand new executive MBA application. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. You can be reached at exec, that's EXEC, MBA@darden.virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.